This is Shnayim Mikro V'Echod Targum for Parshas Yisro, First Aliyah. My name is Zvi Hirsch Weinreb, and I will be delivering the Shnayim Mikro V'Echod Targum series for Parshas Yisro and for some future Parshios as well. My approach will be to try to focus on the pshat, on the simple meaning of the psukim that we will study, drawing mainly from Rashi, but emphasizing the targumim, especially the targum unkelis. When I can, I will also supplement the pshat, the simple meaning, with observations from the commentary of Ramban, and occasionally from other early commentators as well. At the end of last week's Parsha, in Parshas B'Shalach, we read of the dastardly attack upon the Jewish people from the rear by Amalek and the war against Amalek. In this context, the opening verses of this week's Parsha, Yisro, are a bit strange because we jump from a war, a crisis with Amalek, to a visit from Yisro, the father-in-law of Moshe Rabbeinu. And the Pasuk begins, Vayishma Yisro Chohein Midyon, Chosein Moshe, and Yisro, who was the Chohein of Midyon, whereas Kohen is often translated priest, Rashi stresses that Kohen means the Godol, the great person. Rashi says this later on the Pasuk, Mamleches Kohanim, does not mean a kingdom of priests, but a kingdom of leaders. And indeed, if you look in the Targum Unkelis, you will see that he translates Kohen Midyon as Rabbo de Midyon, the great one, the leader of Midyon. So Yisro, the leader of Midyon, the father-in-law of Moshe, heard all that God had done for Moshe and for Yisroel, his people. Ki hotzi Hashem es Yisroel mimitzroyim, because God had brought Yisroel out of Mitzrayim, out of Egypt. The question arises, what is the connection between the two parshios? Last week's war with Amalek, and suddenly we are plunged into Yisro's Shemiyo, Vayishma Yisro, what Yisro heard, and the entire narrative of Yisro's encounter with Moshe Rabbeinu. Rashi, of course, quotes the Medrash, which says, Mashmua Shoma Ubo, what did Yisro hear that convinced him to come, to leave what Rashi will call Kvodo Shel Olam, to leave the glorious, prestigious and powerful position he had as Rabbo de Midyon, as the chieftain of Midyon, and to come to the desert? He heard about Kriyas Yamsuf, that's last week's Parsha, the climax of last week's Parsha, the splitting of the sea, Umulchemes Amalek, and the war against Amalek. Already in the Gemara, in Meseches Zvochim, Daf Kuf Tes Zayin, Meseches Vochim, page 116a, there is a machlokas as to exactly when Yisro arrived. Was it in sequence? He heard about Amalek, he arrived, he had discussion with Moshe, and then the Torah was given on Har Sinai. Or is it out of sequence, and Yisro came after the Torah was given? We will not go deeply into that question, but rather will follow Rashi's approach as it unfolds. Vayikach Yisro Chosein Moshe es Tziporo Eishes Moshe achar Shilucheho. Yisro, the father-in-law of Moshe, notice again, he is called Chosein Moshe, Moshe's father-in-law. This was his great honor. He was Moshe's father-in-law. As Rashi says, Kan hoyo Yisro miskabed b'Moshe. Now, Yisro is taking glory from Moshe. Yisro is lowering himself and looking up to Moshe. And Yisro took Tziporo Eshes Moshe Achar Shilucheho. He took Tziporo, who had been sent away by Moshe. As Rashi explains, Moshe originally traveling to Mitzrayim came along with his wife and children. But when he encountered Aharon, Aharon said, "Whom are you bringing here?" And Moshe said, "I'm bringing my wife and my children." "And where are you taking them?" said Aharon. And Moshe said, "I'm taking them to Mitzrayim." And Aharon said, in a famous phrase, quoting Rashi, "Al horishonim onu mitzta'arim." We've got enough problem with our people being enslaved, and we're concerned about all the people who are already enslaved. V'yata bola hosif aleihem. You're coming to bring three more slaves? When Moshe heard that, he said to her, "Tzipora, take the kids and go back to father, to Yisro." Now, Yisro was bringing Tzipora back after that shiluchim, after that sending away, after Moshe sent her back to Midian. And also with her were her two sons, the ace Shnei Voneho. The sons were named Gershom, because Moshe said, "Ger hoyisi bi'eretz nochriyo. I was once a stranger in a strange country." And as the Malbim points out, we will quote Malbim from time to time, he is expert at sensing the nuances of the pshat, and he says, of course, Moshe was a ger. Moshe was a stranger. Even in Egypt, he was not a full-fledged citizen. People knew of his origins. And they knew that he was an alien of some sort, maybe a legal alien, but an alien. But in Midian, he was a double alien. He was an alien in an alien land, which is even worse than being an alien in your own land. And he was grateful that in spite of this status of being a stranger in a strange land, God had favored him. So he named his first son Gershom. His second son was named Eliezer, Ki Eloke Ovi B'Ezri, because my father's God supported me, was my help, Vayatzileni Mecherev Paro, and he saved me from Paro's sword. When was this? When was this episode that Moshe was threatened by the sword of Paro and had to be rescued? Obviously, this had to have occurred before Eliezer was born, for Eliezer to have been named after the incident. And Rashi tells us, quoting the Mechilta, that Dosan and Aviram had snitched, had tattled on Moshe and told Paro that Moshe had killed an Egyptian. At that point, Paro wanted to kill Moshe and he wanted to guillotine him, to execute him with a sword. Somehow, miraculously, the neck, Moshe's neck, became as strong as marble, ka'amud shel shayosh, and the cherev could not harm him. He was invincible to the sword. At that time, he thanked God for that by naming his son Eliezer after that event. The Meforshim, in this case, this can be found in the commentary of Rabbeinu Avrohom ben Horambam. The Rambam's son Avrohom wrote a commentary on Chumash, which we will try to draw from time to time. And he says that Eliezer was named after that Paro died. And it was a new Paro came up. Because it was only after that Paro died that Moshe could be sure that he was spared from that Paro's sword. Vayovo Yisro Chosein Moshe. And again, notice, third time, Yisro is described as Moshe's father-in-law. So Yisro came, Uvano Ve'ishto El Moshe. He came with Moshe's sons, Moshe's wife, to Moshe. El Hamidbor Asher Hushchone Shom Har Hoelokim. He came to the desert where Moshe was residing, where Moshe was encamped, the mountain of the Lord. Vayomer el Moshe, and he said to Moshe, Ani chosencho Yisro bo elecha. I am your father-in-law, Yisro. I am coming to you, along with your wife, and her two sons with her. Vayetze Moshe likras chosno. So Moshe went to greet his father-in-law. If in Pasuk Zion, as we've just read, Moshe went to greet his father-in-law, how can we have two psukim earlier in Pasuk Hey, Vayovo Yisro, that Yisro came to Moshe? And therefore, the Mefarshim understand that in Pasuk Hey, Yisro had not yet actually met up with Moshe, but rather he came toward the general region where Moshe was, to the Midbar Asher Hu Choneshom. And there, he sent a message. Either, as Rashi would have it, he sent a shliach, he sent an agent to go to tell Moshe, quote, Ani chosencho Yisro bo elecha, I, your father-in-law, am coming to you. Or, as Ramban insists, he sent him a letter in which he wrote the words, I am your father-in-law, I am about to arrive, I'm coming. And then, Pasuk Zion, Moshe went out to greet him. Sforno, another important commentary, Rabbi Ovadia Sforno, says that from here we learn the importance of notifying your future host that you are arriving. Don't just knock on the door and say, I'm here, but let him know so that he can prepare for you. This follows the sage counsel of Chazal in the Gemara Meseches Psochim, Daf Kuf Yud Beis, who advise us, Al tichnas leveischo pisom. Don't come home suddenly, even to your own home. You're coming, call your wife from the train station and say, honey, I'm on the way. Don't just show up and knock on the door. Give the person an opportunity to prepare for you. And Yisro did this and said, I'm coming. Ani chosencho Yisro bo elecha. So Moshe went out to greet him, vayishtachu vayishaklo, and he bowed and kissed him. Who bowed to whom? Who kissed whom? Well, the pasuk continues, vayishalu ish re'ehu lishalom. Ish, one person, asked or inquired after the welfare, the well-being, the shalom of the other person. Ish is usually a reference to Moshe. V'ho ish Moshe. So when it says Vayishalu Ish L'Re'ehu, it means Moshe bowed to Yisro. Moshe kissed Yisro. Moshe inquired first of Yisro's shalom, and Yisro then responded. Here, in the commentary of Rabbeinu Avrohom, the son of the Rambam, we have a fascinating quote, which is a bit provocative. Rabbeinu Avrohom ben Rambam says, Vayishtachu derech nimus. It is just courtesy to bow to another person. Vze more al heter ha-hishtachavoyo livnei odom nichbodim derech nimus. This indicates that it is permissible to bow to royalty, to nobility, if that is part of the norm, if that is part of the culture, if that is part of the procedure. Normally we don't bow to anyone but God. But if a bow is just a gesture of civility toward a Adam Nechbad, toward a noble person, a prestigious person, then that is permissible. And here we have that Moshe Rabbeinu himself bowed to Yisro. Vayisaper, Moshe lechosno. And Moshe told Yisro the story. And here we have the verb vayisaper. He told him the story. And Rashi, quoting Mechilta, says, Limshoch es libo lekarvo la Torah. Moshe wanted to be mekarev, to bring Yisro near, to make the Torah dear to him, to attract him, to draw him close. And the way you draw a person close is by telling a story. Vayisaper Moshe lechosno. Moshe told Yisro the narrative, the story. And the story was, Eskol asher oso Hashem lefaro ulo Mitzrayim, all that God had done to Paro, to Mitzrayim, al odos Yisroel, on behalf of the Jewish people. And Moshe also told him, Eskol hatolo'o asher mitzo'osam baderech, all of the tolo'o. What is tolo'o? Tolo'o, the Targum says, is aksa. All the sorrows, all the difficulties, all the trouble that they had on the road, Vayatzileim Hashem, which God rescued them from. Talah is perhaps best translated as hardship, kol aksa, in the words of the Targum. So Moshe told him about all that had befallen Mitzrayim, and all that the Jews had suffered, but yet been rescued. Yes, yet been delivered from those hardships. Vayichad Yisro. And Yisro rejoiced. He was happy. The word Vayichad is related to the word Chedva, which means happiness. That is the simple meaning of Vayichad. Yisro was happy. Al kol hatovo asher oso Hashem li Yisroel, asher hitzilo miyad Mitzrayim. He was happy about all that had happened to the Jewish people and how they had been delivered from the hand of Mitzrayim. Now Rashi adds an additional understanding of Vayichad, of he was happy. That it doesn't mean happy, but it means na'aseh bisaro chadudim chadudim. His flesh became sharpened. He became frightened. He became upset because he heard that the Egyptians had had this terrible mapola, had suffered so. And Rashi says, after all, Yisro, as great as he was, as wonderful as he still was genetically a Gentile. He still had sympathy for his Gentile peers. And when he heard that Mitzrayim suffered so, Vayichad, he was upset. Interestingly enough, there are many other suggestions as to the meaning of the word Vayichad. There is a commentary on Chumash, wonderful one, rarely quoted, called Mincha Belula. And he says, two other possibilities exist for what the word Vayichad means. One, it could mean chad, sharp. Vayichad Yisro, he drew a sharp object over his flesh, meaning he circumcised himself. That's how much he was inspired. He wanted to join the Jewish people. Also suggests Mincha Bolulo, Vayichad can come from the word liyached, to designate, to be specific, to make one, because Yisro was miyachedes Hashem. He testified, God is one. In any case, Yisro was certainly moved emotionally when he heard Moshe's story. And he uttered a great barucha, a great blessing. Vayomer Yisro, Yisro said, Baruch Hashem asher hitzil eschem miyad Mitzrayim umiyad Paro. Blessed be God who delivered you, who rescued you from the hand of Egypt and from the hand of Paro. Asher hitzil es ha'om, who rescued the people, mitachas yad Mitzrayim, from under the hand of Egypt. So he gave this berocha, Baruch Hashem. Interestingly, we have in this pasuk yud the phrase that God rescued us, miyad Mitzrayim, from the hand of Mitzrayim. And the very next phrase, he rescued us, mitachas yad Mitzrayim, from under the hand of Egypt. If you look carefully in the Targum for Pasuk Yud, you will see that the first one is translated, miyadod Mitzrayim, from the hand of Egypt. And the second one is mitros marvas Mitzrayim, from under the dominion, the domination of Mitzrayim. And this is explained, and really this is hinted at in Rashi himself, and that is that mitachas yad Mitzrayim means, miyad Mitzrayim means from the hand of Paro. From the hand of Mitzrayim. It was difficult to be under another person's rule, even if you have total freedom and dominion. If you're not a sovereign, independent, autonomous person, you are under the hand of Mitzrayim, under the hand of Paro. That's difficult. But what's worse is when you are not only in the hands of the others, but you are tachas yad Mitzrayim. You were under their hand, meaning you are dominated by them. As Rashi says, kitargum loshon ridui. You are dominated, you are persecuted by them. That's the meaning of marvas Mitzroy, the targums. You are under their dominion, you are subject to them. Ato yodati, now says Yisrael, now I know, ki godol Hashem mikol ho'elokim, that God is greater than all other gods. What does it mean? Are there other gods and God is the greatest? Well, again, Rabbeinu Avraham ben Horambam, this time quoting his father, the Rambam says, Elohim here does not mean gods. It means powerful forces, angels, malochim, kochos alyonim. You are stronger than all the other forces of the universe. Ki gadol Hashem mikol ha'elokim. But Yisro says, ato yodati, now I know. And Rashi of course tells us, now I know? What do you mean, now you first know? And Rashi says, well, I knew before, but now I really know. Now I'm really convinced. Because, says Rashi, that Yisro was makir b'chol avodos kochovim sheba olam. Yisro explored every religion. He was the world expert on comparative religion. He worshipped every idol out there. Shelohiniach avodas kochovim shelo avodo. There was no idol that he did not worship. He tried every single religion under the sun. Now he knew that this was indeed the true religion. Why? Kivadovor asher zodu alehem. Because in the same manner that they had schemed, zodu means to scheme. Rashi, Unkelis translates zodu dachashivu mitzroy. They had planned, they had plotted. Rashi translates it both as dimuli abdom, they thought about it, but also hirshiu. They thought in an evil sense, they schemed. And they schemed to kill the Jewish people in the water. And look, now they too were suffering through the water, through the splitting of the Dead Sea, where they were drowned. So now that I see that in the very way that they wanted to do in the Jews, that's how they were done in, now I know, ki gadol Hashem mikol ha'elokim. The midah keneged midah, the measure for measure, punished in the water because they planned to do harm with water, that's God's way. And that indicates that he is the greatest force in the entire world. And so they celebrated. How does one celebrate? Vayikach Yisro Chosein Moshe. Again, Yisro is called Chosein Moshe. And he took, and Targum notice says, Vikorev Yisro. Yisro was Makriv. Yisro brought near. Yisro offered as a sacrifice. Ola uzevochim lelokim. Two types of animal sacrifices. An ola is kalil. It's when the animal is entirely consumed upon the altar. And zevochim is the korban shlomim, where some of the components of the animal are placed upon the altar and consumed in the fire. But most of the flesh of the animal is eaten by those who are celebrating. Vayavo Aharon v'chol ziknei Yisroel le'echol lechem im Chosein Moshe lifnei ho'elokim. And Aharon and all the elders of Yisroel came to eat bread with Yisro's father-in-law before God, lifnei ho'elokim. Rashi, of course, is troubled. Where was Moshe at this party? Yisro came, he brought karbonos. Aaron and the Ziknei Yisroel were the guests, and they came to eat bread with, not Moshe, Chosein Moshe. Where was Moshe? Rashi answers that Moshe was omeid umeshamesh lifneihem. Moshe was serving them. He didn't have a seat at the table. He was, so to speak, the waiter. Others say that there's no necessity. This is the Ibn Ezra. Always, always, always looking for the simplest approach. So he says, what do you mean, where was Moshe? That they came to eat with Moshe. It's understandable. Moshe was in Moshe's house, in Moshe's tent, that the whole thing happened. So of course Moshe was there. The Torah doesn't have to specify that, says Ibn Ezra. Although, taking an opposite view, is Rabbeinu Avraham, the son of the Rambam. He says, Moshe did not celebrate with them. Moshe ate alone. Moshe was the ultimate person who contemplated God in solitude. Moshe was alone. The party was Hossein Moshe, Moshe's father-in-law, Aaron, the Zikne Yisrael. Moshe was not there. They came to eat lifnei ha'elokim. They came to eat before God, in the presence of God. And Rashi comments, a famous, famous chazal, and an important one. Mikan shahanehene misu'udo shel talmidei chachomim misubin bo. If a person takes part in a plain, ordinary meal, it's just bread and food and soup and fish, and you're just a meal, it's something very gashmiyuftik, something very simple and ordinary. But if you partake in a meal at a table, sit at a table with true Talmidei Chachomim, that is ki'ilu nehene mizev hashchina. That's the ultimate spiritual experience. It is if you are standing in the glory of the Shechina itself. You're eating, but you're eating with learned people. That is ziv hashchina. That is the glory of the presence of God. This is Sheni. We are now finished with the first Aliyah.